Some of you are going to be surprised, but I actually have some friends. And there's two from Wichita Falls here. They told me they were praying for me, but I had no idea they were going to show up. These two. If you ask Gil, how's he doing? He says, I'm blessed. I'm blessed by the best. Always. 15 years ministry in prison. I wasn't over there then, but 15 years. And my unbelievable brother, Mr. Brown, that has been by my side and leading me so many times. And I could go through this and just story after story with so many of you. And I'll include a couple of them just for the sake of keeping it on the light side. You know, many of you knew Shirley and Frank Wallen, and anybody that knows them has a smile on their face. They were witty. They were witty, and they enjoyed life. And it was my blessing as a new man in town that I got acquainted with them, because it just helped me relax. It just helped me relax to be around them and the laughter. Shirley would just keep us in stitches, and Frank would just sit there in his chair and just shake his head. And she was a dyed-in-the-wool Baptist. And as close as our friendship was, she never failed to tell me, hey, we're not going to join First Christian. We're going to come, and they were here every Sunday, but we are Baptist. And we are not changing. We are Baptist. Yes, Shirley, I got it. She'd tell me again, yes, Shirley, I got it. You know, I'm in a slow class, but I got it. Unbeknownst to me, one Sunday, Jim said to the Walden, says, you know what make Wayne nervous? Because they had that seat right back there where Mary is. And Jim says, go up and sit on the front row. Instead of sitting on the very back one in the corner, go up to the front row. And they thought that was so funny. And so they're sitting here, and I'm having no idea what's going on here. I have no idea what's going on. And then about somewhere through the service toward the invitation, she elbows Frank. Says, you want to go forward? You want to go forward? You want to join? Frank almost fell out of this pew. He could not believe. She is a Baptist. And even though she joined here, she was still a Baptist. But she was a Baptist. And when it came time for the invitation, they stood up. Now, I don't have a clue. I know normal people, that means they're joining the church. But with this couple, I did not have a clue why they were standing up. I didn't know if they had some major announcement they wanted to share with the congregation or what. We're going to talk about Abraham and Sarah later, and he was 100 when Isaac was born. She was 70, and I didn't know if there was a second coming right here with the Waldens or what. If they were going to surprise us if she was having another child. And they stand up, and they rededicated their life to the Lord. Such a blessing to this congregation and community. And as I go around the room, I have so many stories on each of you, and I'll take a collection later so I won't tell on you, because I will have deep pockets. But thank y'all for having me back. Thank you. And yes, someone said, well, did they invite you back? I said, no. I ask if I could come back. Y'all are so special to my heart. Thank you. You know, this is probably as turbulent a time as I've ever seen in our country and in our world. It is so discouraging. So discouraged. There's turmoils here. There's turmoils there. You know, overseas. We have Israel. We have Iraq. We have Iran. We have Ukraine. All of these issues that are going on at the same time. Congress is locked down. They can't get anything through. They said last year they only got 22 bills through in the House. I guess that was really a favor to us, because usually the bills mean something bad for all of us. But only 22, they're up there making these thousands of dollars, and they cannot get anything done. In New York City, just recently at Columbia, you've seen the people sitting in. You see the people saying that the mean, cruel things about the people from Israel. If you've ever studied or read about, if you've ever studied about the Holocaust, how could anybody say to them what they're saying now? Because as a nation, millions of people died in those gas chambers. Millions. Recently, and don't hold me to these numbers because I got it from somebody on TV. Recently, I heard that 6 million Jews died in Holocaust. 6 million. And now Israel has a population of 7 million. Just 1 million more than died under those horrendous things. And how these people can go around the streets saying the things they say. And, you know, I don't know of any idea how many people actually know an Israeli person. But they're just as good as anybody you'll ever meet, kind and so forth. They just contributing to our society. You have a guy that was on a boat and he gets out a knife. He doesn't need a gun. He just takes a knife and he kills 6 or 7 people with it. And on and on. But this isn't the message about doom. The message is we, as Christians, followers of Jesus Christ, have got to stand strong. Stand strong for what is right. What is right? Well, we've got a pretty good book. That the more you read it, the more you'll understand His Word. And I always use a study book Bible because it has the footnotes and so forth. I need somebody to dumb it down for me. Richard and Gil, they don't need this. But I need each and every time. And the more I read it, the more I read it, the more I realize how blessed I am as a follower of Jesus Christ. You may follow the Democratic Party. You may follow the Republican Party. You may follow an independent. But there is no one that you can follow that can offer you what Jesus Christ does. He is our salvation. We today have a burden. We have challenges. And sometimes it's worse than others, obviously. But there is that resentment toward Christians. I've never seen so much resentment, come on, tongue, resentment toward Christians. They're attacking us in ways I never saw. I never saw in school. I never saw in community. I never saw anywhere. But they're taking on Christians in such a direct manner that it's amazing to me. It's horrendous. Their values, if you disagree with their values, if you do not think that a child in elementary school should have a sex change, then there's something wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with me, but there's something wrong with you as a Christian. Also, it's okay if they bring in these individuals that are dressed up for a different sex. that they have them dancing and singing in the classrooms, and then they get upset with any parent that challenges them. And also, if you go to a school board meeting at some place and you express your opinion, and I think we still have freedom of speech, then in some places, you may have the IRS knocking on your door within 4 or 5 days because they feel like you are an instigator of trials, that you are creating issues for the community just because you had your point of view, just because you had your expression. It's not easy. But our forefathers, yes, our forefathers, it was not easy for them either. And I know, like, when I'm around you, I pick up things I really appreciate. Things you've done, things you've said, your willingness to work through troubled times, health issues, it makes me stronger. If we go back to the Word, we will see individuals that were warriors. Abraham was told to go to a promised land. He was also promised that he would have so many ancestors that it would be equivalent to the stars in the sky, grains of sand on the beach. And here this guy is at 100 wanting a child. Now, if any of you have children or grandchildren, and you're getting up in age, say like me, I am really not looking forward to raising another family. I am not wanting to father any children. But Abraham and Sarah kept praying, and God was faithful to the prayer. The timing was a little different between them and God. They have Isaac. Now, when Isaac gets to be about, we don't know for sure, 12, 13, we're guessing, Isaac is to be a sacrifice by Abraham. God came to Abraham and said, sacrifice Isaac. Now, he's waited 100 years to get him. And here is God promising him to have all these stars, and this is his son. Where's the future coming from, God? But I'm going to do what you tell me to do. I'm going to follow your word. Gets up there, gets the altar prepared, ties up his son's legs, arms, ready to stab him, and God stops him. A voice from an angel told him, stop. We know your faith and your commitment to us. And so there was a goat there. They took Isaac off the fire, put the goat on. Isaac followed in the footsteps of his dad. The nations that evolved after Abraham, Sarah. But those were difficult times. Those were real difficult times. And as we go through the Word, it wasn't just them. And each one of them had their own issues. Joseph was a slave. He went through imprisonment, slavery, and ended up being a leader of Egypt and brought his family to him. They thought he was dead. But he went through years in prison, but he never, ever bailed on God. And you know what? God never bailed on him. His timing is always the right one. I always like to say, God, grant me patience, and I want it right now. I heard one minister that I could really relate to say that he had his major discussions of back and forth was God's timing. Now, I don't feel so bad if I have that issue, because this minister of thousands said that's one of his bigger, major struggles with God is the timing. Patience. We're not long on patience. David had his issues. He was a shepherd watching the sheep, and he goes on, killed Goliath, a big giant that is so tall, so big, so broad, and he takes a slingshot out there. He was doing what God said, and you and I will have our Goliaths. It's a promise. We will have those challenges. We will have those difficult times. But you're not alone. You're not alone. And the more you seek Him, the more you're going to find Him. That experience Jim alluded to or repeated. When Wayne came here in 1906, I knew y'all would catch on. 1906. I didn't have the relationship with God I have today. You know, you've heard the story about the older couple going from Quanah to Kroll, and they're just visiting away. And then this car comes up behind them and then passes them, and it's a young couple. And she's sitting right there next to him. He is doing this, and he's doing this, you know, and just going on down the road. And Mom says, "You notice how close they're sitting?" He said, "Yeah." She said, "Well, we used to do that." I said, "Yeah, and I'm not the one that moved." God is wanting you, and He's wanting me to move. Move closer to Him. Sitting there with Jim, that wouldn't have gone back there. That wouldn't have happened prior to me coming to Quanah. I wouldn't have had that feeling, and I was not mistaken at all. God was addressing me in His quiet ways. If you're waiting to hear His voice, it may or may not happen, but He has other ways to communicate with you that are just unmistakable. Right, Gerald? You know that He's talking to you. Gerald was sharing one with me last night. You know, when God is with you, you have that chill, you have that flush, if you will, something. God is working. And the problem I had to overcome was, God would use me. He would use Wayne. For 40 years, I'd had ministers ask me to go into the ministry, and I wouldn't do it. I wasn't good enough. He couldn't use me. I've got too many warts, too many problems. Well, little did I know, He had greater plans. And God can change anything. He can change your heart. He can change your environment. He can change it if we just listen. But we've got to have the courage to stand for Him. If somebody challenges you in a grocery store, maybe you have a Christian, the cross necklace, or on your ring, and somebody mocks you or make fun of it. Are you going to back down? Or are you going to say, "Yeah, this represents my Lord and my Savior"? I actually, and some of y'all remember that, I'd usually have a lapel pin on with a cross. And I was in a Christian church, and this guy I know for 50 years, he's always been involved in church. And I had that cross. "Richard, I got it from you." I had that cross on, and he says, "What does that mean? That you were a preacher?" And I said, "No. It means I'm a follower of Jesus Christ." You don't have to go and demonstrate downtown. You don't need to bring in the kindling and set a big bonfire. You don't have to pick up a sign and go around. But when you have the opportunity to witness for Jesus Christ, we as Christians have got to say, "Yes. Yes, I am a follower. Let me tell you about my Savior. Let me share it with you. It's the good news. Wait a minute. That book's over 2,000 years old. Yeah, it's 4,000 or so. And it's just as true today as it was the day it was written. You know, I still can't get used to the rule changes in collegiate sports. That's not right, but you can bear with me. You know, I don't understand this stuff. When I was in school, then you transfer once, you stay there, you got your degree, and you played 4 or 5 years with the same school. So I don't understand all of this. How would you like it if in the middle of a football game, they changed the rules, and no, you're not supposed to go that direction, you're supposed to go to this other one in order to score? Changes all around us. Taxes, whatever. There's more and more changes going on. But our Lord and Savior does not change. He is just as real today as He was then. How would you like it if the rules changed? Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not covet. And you say, oh, new rules. That's all okay now. How secure could we be? This is not the same world as it was when Moses received, obviously, the Ten Commandments. Changes. But what has not changed is this. If you have the questions, what shall I do? I encourage you to go there. You don't have to be a scholar. You don't have to be a theologian. You just need to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And just like my visit with Jim, he will lead you. He will lead you to the proper scriptures. The Word, and I'm just going to, a lot of you have enjoyed your Jesus calling, Sarah Young. And I want to share something with you. This is just on one page. This is going to be interesting. I left my reading glasses in there. Danley, you want to hold it for me? It's in the Old Testament, and it is the New Testament. Every one of the saints that we read about had to go to God for strength and courage to endure. It was not a cakewalk. I don't know how difficult it was during the Depression other than what people told me, but it was tough. I don't know what it was like with Truman when he had to make the decision to bomb Japan with atomic bombs, but it was difficult. And you may be called for difficult situations to make that decision. And it's Old Testament, New, and I'm just going to share with you just a few. Did I hear an amen? Or praise the Lord. Jeremiah 31:3. The Lord appeared to us in the past saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness. Loving kindness. This is Jeremiah, but he's saying the same thing to you and me. Exactly the same. Psalms 107 by David. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonders, deeds are for man. Undying love. Just like me, those 40 years, I could not see how God could use me, because I knew so many people that I looked to for moral guidance, direction. But He's saying the same thing to me. He's saying the same thing to you. It might be in your office. It might be you're getting gasoline and you have the chance to share with somebody else there. But when the door opens, we are not to be bashful, for He is not bashful. And you may think, I don't have the words. I haven't been to a university. Don't worry. God will give you that. Now we go to the New Testament, Mark 4:39. Then Jesus arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was great calm. He was out in the boat with fishermen, the pros, and they were scared because the winds were up so strong and it was bouncing them around, and they had seen very good fishermen that have died on the Sea of Galilee. So they were nervous. And Jesus tells the sea, the winds, cease, peace. You have those times that it is so stormy in your life. So stormy. You are being bounced around in your boat of security. It is difficult for you to take your eyes off of the problem and then switch to God, but that's exactly what we're to do. We're to seek Him and turn to Him, for with Him we get wisdom. We get guidance. We hear His words of peace. Is there anybody in here that doesn't want to have peace in their life? You're in the midst of a storm, and you want peace. There's only one. Only one. Mythology, they had gods all over the place for anything and everything, statues for them and everything else. You can have the walls covered, your house covered, but there's only one God. One God. And He loves you with an undying love. Somebody in here has had this experience that I've had. I'm not good enough. And then I beat myself up with my mistakes. And it cripples me. But God tells us to surrender them to Him, just like that storm. Surrender the guilt, the pain that accompanies it. Surrender them to Jesus, and He will give you that peace. Psalms 46:2. Therefore, we will not fear. We will not fear. Though the earth give way and the mountain fall into the heart of the city. Do not fear. And there are so many times, we could go on and on about the Word where it tells, book after book, do not fear. Basically, do not fear, for I am with you. You know, you have special friends, you have your spouse, you have your parents, and it's always so comforting to be with them, even in difficult times. You might reach over and you're waiting in an emergency room lobby and holding hands and praying. And that's so comforting. But you might also be in there by yourself. And you're still not lonely. Because if you're lifting up prayers to Him, there is that salvation. There is that unconditional love. Some people may say, yeah, I'll love you for this or that, if you do this or do that. No. Unconditional. No matter what your warts are, He loves you. And there is a place for you in heaven. There's a place. But as Christians, we have got to stand strong. We got to stand together. We may be outnumbered, but we've got Jesus Christ on our side. David had a slingshot to bring down the giant. We have our Lord and our Savior. we're so much better equipped. For Christ will never leave you. You may try to put up some kind of barrage, some kind of wall between you and them. But it's just like that story. Who has moved? Have we moved from God? Is that the issue? When we have the option to move to God. I'd like for you to join. We don't have it on screen or anything. Something Kathy and I just visited about. I'd like you to join me in Onward Christian Soldiers. That's our calling. To be Christian soldiers in this world that is trying to tear you apart, tear you down, humiliate you, make fun of you. But you've got Jesus with you today and forever. Father, we come to you. You are our Lord. You are our Savior. We are humbled. Humbled by your presence. You are here right now. Right this moment. Your presence. This is your house. And the devil is not allowed in here. Satan is not allowed in here. For we are on holy ground. Thank you, dear Lord, for each person that is here. Each person has touched my life in a very, very special way. Thank you for this reunion. And it's only appropriate that we have this reunion in your house, the house of God. Be with each person today as they leave, for they have challenges. But they know you will never walk alone. Amen.
Invitation hymn.
We now will have the invitation hymn. It's been a while since I have done this. If you would like to give your life to Christ, and maybe you've done it before, but you want to make a special commitment to Him today. Special commitment to Christ. You are my light. You are the beam. You are the one I will follow. So if you want to have this moment of dedication and commitment to Him, and maybe you've never done it before, but you want to today, the Holy Spirit moves you, just like He did with me when I was with Jim. Maybe it's moved you that you want to be baptized. You come down. You come forward, and together we will declare Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, not just today, your Lord and Savior forever. Amen.